Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an incredible show for you today. Just speaking with the guests backstage, I know you're going to be entertained, but you're also going to be educated. We're going to take notes. We're going to ask questions. We're going to learn a lot today. But before I go ahead and introduce today's guest, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do every day, Monday through Friday, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone in your network, in your house, in your job, in your neighborhood. There's someone who needs this information and might just change their life. Maybe they're a new entrepreneur. Maybe they're still employed and they want to take that entrepreneur journey. Maybe they want to start their new business, but they will not have this information unless you go ahead and share the show with them. So go ahead and send that text, send that tweet, make that post, put it out on LinkedIn, whatever you have to do. But like I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and introducing your friends to our network, I'm going to introduce you to a lovely lady you have seen here before. She was on the Roundtable Talk Show a few months ago, and we learned and we laughed with Miss Christina Shea. Christina has an eclectic background from teaching fitness to working in senior corporate roles. She has led women's empowerment workshops, organized fundraising events for women's shelters, and her professional career has spanned graphic design to leading marketing and communication departments. And something tells me there's more than that that this young lady does. Good morning, Christina. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. It's such a pleasure to be back. I was looking forward to this all week. So it's as I was saying, it's a blue skies day, and I guess I have a story to tell about that. And thank you for the very beautiful introduction. So a little bit about myself. Yes, I've had a very eclectic career. People say they change, I don't know how many careers in their lifetime, but there's always been a common theme, I guess, of marketing. But really, I guess my life story is what's going on right now and how it transpired into my new business that I'm launching, which is Blue Skies Life, which is why I mentioned Blue Skies. As I mentioned, I worked for all sorts of banks. I owned a consulting company. I worked for Ontario Securities Commission, IROC, all these big regulatory bodies and banks for quite some time. And then I recently then worked for a public company that was involved in cannabis, which is a passion of mine in therapeutic levels. Really, to go back a little bit, I worked in the financial district, and I was experiencing debilitating stress and migraines for many years. And then one day I actually collapsed, literally almost dead in the financial district. And I was rushed to the hospital. And first they told me I had brain cancer. And then they told me, thank God I don't have that, but I do have a brain cyst that was quite large at the time. So it was putting pressure on my cerebral cortex in the spine here and in my neck. So I didn't want to go through surgery because I already had experienced some vision loss. And they said that I was at risk to lose a lot more if I had the surgery. So I decided to go my own route and try to incorporate wellness and meditation, and also you choose how to live wellfully, as I call it, reducing my stress levels, and also incorporated cannabis, but also all natural non-toxic products. And yet again, I was on that roller coaster because I was working for a public company, and during the pandemic, things changed. I got laid off, but I also was, to be honest, relieved a little bit because I was working again, crazy hours, like 70 hours a week, no sleep. For a company, it wasn't really my company. So my passion was really empowering other women, as always. As I said, I had done some fundraising, empowerment talks. I've done lots of speaking across the world, even the Caribbean, about cannabis and women in particular and how they can incorporate that in their lives for therapeutic reasons, but also about non-toxic and natural products. So Blue Skies Life was launched actually last week, the e-commerce component. So I'm so excited about that. Blue Skies is spelled with a Y because I believe it is all about your why, your passion, your purpose here individually and as a corporate business. Our passion is about natural non-toxic products, sustainability, including our packaging, dealing with preferably not always, but female-led companies, and also ethical trade, transparency and truth, which is very key. I've worked in the financial industry, so I know how important that is, at least for me. And investors, but also just, the common, consumer that's using your products. They really want to know the truth and what's behind those ingredients and those labels. And also, gender parity and equity for women, but also for those who identify as women. I'm also an advocate for LGBT community. I have two brothers who are actually gay and one that's transgender. So it's a passion of mine. And also, it's just really spreading love and the word of, really getting well and resetting. And I think during the pandemic, a lot of people have decided to really change and how they live and maybe look at why they're doing what they're doing in their career, but also how they're living their day-to-day life and how they can live naturally and build a foundation of health. So that's what I'm up to, blueskieslife.com. If you do subscribe to our newsletter, there's 10% off. We carry a line of Shea Collection butters and so on. My last name is Shea, so I had to do that. Lavender, lemongrass, all sorts, but there's no toxic ingredients. There's hemp in it. There's a lot of natural things, natural skincare, including serums. And there's a whole batch of new eye creams and so on that are going to be launched next week, as well as also some indulgences like organic silk apparel, from kimonos to, handkerchiefs that you can also double up as a face and skin friendly mask, and a donation. And we contribute a portion of our sales to women's charities around the world. So that's a big corporate priority for us, is to really give back. So
wow.
It's a way of life. It really does.
I love it. That, like I said in the introduction, I'm pretty sure there was a lot more that was not included in your bio, and you came out and you wowed us. So I love it. And what was interesting to me is when I spoke to you backstage and I was like, I know her face. I know her story. And then I remembered you, but I couldn't put it together until you started speaking. And you were on the show with Tracy Lamori and the show we did with the cannabis. So it was all women owned cannabis companies on that show, if memory serves me.
Yes, that's correct. Tracy and I have a passionate love of cannabis, and as you can know, I'm an advocate for that, really crushing that stigma of it, because when I worked in the financial industry, when I started using it, nobody talked about that. If I even talked about that, I would have been shunned. And right. I'm using it for therapeutic use, and it's a plant, it's a botanical, it's a natural healing plant that grows in the ground. And I think it's time for people to get back to their roots, and pharma has its place, but really start living naturally and living well. And there's so many natural plants and medicines that we can learn from that have been here for thousands of years.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to come back to you, Christina. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. We were talking about culture and businesses. Our next guest, pretty sure, has a take on that as well. Ms. Alexandra Pedro. Alexandra creates brands that people trust, remember, and come back to. She is the person behind Alexandra Pedro Marketing, where she helps arts and cultural businesses set up and manage their online presence to reach their ideal audience. Good morning, Alexandra. How are you?
Hi, Sharifa. Thank you so much for having me. I'm well. The sun is finally shining here in Ireland, so blue skies here as well.
I love it. You're calling all the way from Ireland. What time is it?
4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, not too bad. I only feel guilty when the people in Australia are on the show, because they're like, it's 3 a.m. I'm like, I'm sorry. What are you passionate about, Alexandra?
Well, it's funny. I got into marketing by chance. I wanted to be a writer, and people started asking me to write blog posts for them. But I always thought of marketing as something useless, materialistic, even unethical, until I started working on it and started finding that it is actually very useful. It is very important in our society if done properly. So my passion is to use marketing to further the industry that I'm most passionate about, which is arts and culture. So films, movie, books, stuff like that.
Why initially did you think marketing was unethical?
There's a lot of data usage, data collection and usage that is now with new laws and agreements and all that, it started to become more transparent. But in the past, businesses were collecting data that people didn't know that they were collecting and using it to target your interests. So I think that there's that perspective of marketing that I'm trying to get away from, do marketing in a more ethical way without collecting personal data.
Very interesting. So what do you do for fun?
For fun, reading and playing video games and walking, climbing mountains. Here in Ireland, they're very small, but mountains.
Is that why we got the air quotes? Like they're mountains, not real, they're hills.
Yeah, for me, they look like road bumps, but they call them mountains.
Come to California, I'll show you some mountains. Now, Alexandra, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. This next guest is fabulous, amazing. She does so many different things. Miss Nancy Economou. Nancy is the founder and CEO of Watts of Love, which was founded in 2013 following a business trip to the Philippines. While there, she realized the drastic need for safe and renewable lighting. As a mother of five boys, Nancy was compelled to equip vulnerable families to help them raise them out of a continuous cycle of poverty. Nancy has made it her mission to deliver light and love to the poorest of the poor worldwide. Good morning, Nancy. How are you?
I'm doing well, Sharifa. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you are so welcome, and I read your bio, and I was impressed, and I was like, she's saving the world. That's wonderful, but I got to five boys, and I was like, this lady still has hair. Like, she ought to pull all my hair out. Five boys. How do you do it?
Yeah, well, you know, my background was in high-end jewelry sales for Cartier here in Chicago, and started having my children, and I think, you know, at that time, I decided to stay home and really focus my energy on my children. And after that business trip, I went with my ex-husband to the Philippines. And when I was there, I saw a young girl whose face had been burnt.
Oh, wow.
And the teachers were putting toothpaste on her face. I said, what happened to her? And they're like, oh, it happens all the time. Children are burnt by kerosene. So as an American, I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, people don't have electricity and they have to use kerosene. So, you know, it was the first time I realized that happened. And as a mother, I think I was propelled into action because as a mom, I thought, what's it like to live in darkness? I'm very curious and visual by nature. So I was imagining living that way. And when I came back, I just was really compelled to, you know, in 2008, there was not a lot of green, clean technology or solar, but I just had this desire in my heart. And in 2013, I took that first step, went back to the Philippines to a very remote island. And when I got there, I ordered 1,000 lights and they were all stuck in customs. So when I started Watts of Love, I thought I was gonna be a failure. But what happened was I had 3 lights in my suitcases and it slowed me down enough to be very intentional. Because I thought I was going to be like Oprah, right? Like everybody gets a light, handing them out, you know, not knowing what it was going to be like.
You get a light. Everybody gets a light.
Right. Like I really didn't understand what I was doing or caring, but those 3 lights slowed me down enough that I had to be intentional. Number one, to find the hidden poor, to find the people who are the most vulnerable and that are really in tremendous need. But then also, you know, giving them a solar light releases 30%. So it's the ultra poor, the hidden poor, and they spend usually 30% of their income burning kerosene. It gives women the opportunity to become entrepreneurs. So it was just through those first 3 lights that I realized like what I was doing. And since that time, we've been in 47 different countries and we've delivered over 65,000 lights.
Wow.
Throughout the world. So what I like about Watts of Love is we're giving really women a tool to change their lives and be successful, and we're not creating dependency. And during this process, I've been able to design and patent my own solar light.
Oh, wow.
So that light should last at least 10 years. It just got UL certified, meaning it's one of the best and safest lights in the world.
I love it. I want to go and congratulations, kudos on everything you're doing. But I want to go back to you arriving at the airport because something tells me, even though you said, okay, I'm going to start with these 3 lights, you didn't stop there. You have that Aaron Brockovich kind of energy. Like I could see you going to customs, like you're going to give me my light. What happened to the other lights?
I did finally get them out of customs, but it was a month later. And you're so right. Like there's been times that I've showed up at customs or I was in Haiti and somebody kidnapped my lights. And yeah, so there's, you know, when you're moving global product, especially something like a solar light into areas, you know, there's over a billion people who live without electricity and who are forced to live in darkness. So when we come in, it's a commodity that is highly valued. So customs is always very interesting, but really, you know, it's through partnerships. And I think that's how we've been successful, is everything we do is in relationship. I'm successful because of the relationships and the people that I work with. And so UPS has really stood next to us. So we've really been very successful. But yeah, it's sometimes challenging.
I can imagine. Now, Nancy, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. This woman is changing the world, making things happen. Miss Naomi Mammy. Having a childhood full of tragedies, Naomi got married young just to have a home. She did not have parents to guide or have her back. Because of her foolishness of youth, years later, she found herself divorced with 4 kids, no income or family to lean on. Naomi had to turn to her creativity to start a business. People laughed when she proposed to start the Naomi Mammy Design Firm. Good morning, Naomi. How are you?
Hello. Good morning. So I am proof that you can go through all these hardships and still become a success. When I told my friends and my ex-husband that I want to open a design firm, they all thought I was crazy. You know, I had no experience in it. I just had some flair and some creative talent, and no one believed that I could make something of this. And today we are 16 years later, and I'm one of the leading healthcare designers in the United States. I travel across the country designing hospitals, medical centers, nursing homes, assisted livings. So I am living proof that you could pull yourself up, you could monetize on your talents. Everybody's given talents from God that they can monetize on. You know, if you know, some guys are good at tinkering and can become electricians and plumbers, or women can become hairstylists and, you know, makeup artists. There's always something there that you could turn into a business. Because today people think that if they don't have that rich grandfather, you know, they're not going anywhere. There's so many people that just, they're living in their parents' basements and don't have that drive. They don't realize that, you know, there's something that they have inside them that they could turn into a business. And what I do now at this point in my life, I'm still designing, but like one of the other ladies mentioned, giving back is very important to me, and I attribute it to my success. I spend endless hours training young designers starting out. They'll call me up and they'll say, "Oh, can we come watch you work? Can I have some advice?" And I spend so many hours with them. I give them all my contacts, the phone numbers, reps, samples. You know, there are other designers like me. My colleagues would ask me, like, "Why are you doing this? You know, they're just going to become your competition and take away jobs from you and projects." And I'm like, "There is no such thing as competition. Whatever project is meant for me is going to be mine. Nobody can take it away." And I feel like my success is because I'm so out there and helping other designers, you know, start their own businesses from scratch. I always encourage people to be their own boss so they can make their own hours. So this way women can juggle family life and run their own business if they're making their own hours. Otherwise they're tied down. So I help them start on their own so they're not, you know, dependent on somebody else's hours and schedules. This way they have all this flexibility and also growth. I explain to people all the time when these young designers come to me and they're filling out resumes to go work for somebody else. I'm like, why? You can do this on your own. You don't have to go work, for, you know, be your own boss. There's nothing like the freedom of it and the potential for growth. When you're working for somebody else, like you're capped. You can never become greater than them or go above them. They're never going to let you, you know? So becoming your own boss, you're like a limitless to how much you can expand and grow and great you can become. And people also think that by helping other people in their field, they're taking away from themselves. And like hoarding all this information, there's no loss by, you know, if you see, you know, somebody else in your field that needs a little boost or needs a little advice, or you lose nothing from helping others. In fact, I feel like the goodness you put out in this world, you know, comes right back to you. So the more I help other designers get projects, and the more comes to me. I don't ever advertise. I haven't advertised, not even once in the 16 years I'm doing this. So it's like the jobs like fall from the sky.
I love it. You can tell you're passionate about it. You can tell you are passionate, and definitely you remind me of Nancy. I can see the kindred spirits here. Like Naomi, it doesn't look like you take no for an answer.
I do not exactly.
You can't. They were just wasting their breath because you're like, no, I'm going to do it. It's going to happen. Whatever it takes. I love that. Now, Naomi, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce this gentleman to the show, since we have a sea of ladies today, Mr. Stephen Ross. He's originally from Southern California. Stephen began selling real estate there in 2005. And after moving to Colorado in 2009, built another real estate practice from scratch. As a speaker and trainer, he works with other sales professionals to maximize their time and money, cultivating a mindset and business that ultimately gives them more freedom and fulfillment. Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa.
How do you feel with all the ladies this morning?
I could go on. I can take over the rest of the show with what everyone just said. That was fantastic. Right, Alexandra, come to Colorado. I'll show you mountains. We'll go climb a 14er. I mean, so there's so much that everyone just said, and between Christina's company, which is Blue Skies Life, and what Naomi was talking about, being your own boss with no limits, right? So in real estate, we often say real estate is a blue sky business. There is no limit to how high you can go. And although that's true in many businesses, it's definitely true in real estate. And the key to how I built my business was knocking on doors. And so as a real estate agent, first, let me just say, I'm the worst person to be a real estate agent. I'm an introvert. I don't work nights. I don't work weekends. You can't find me online. And frankly, I'm antisocial. I don't do parties. I don't do any of that stuff. And when I got into real estate in 2005, my third child was just being born. And so I got into real estate, which is a commission-only business. And I had three kids to feed. And this is a contact sport business. I met a real estate coach. He said, it's very simple. You must talk to people. You can either knock on heads, knock on doors, pick one. Knocking on heads is like, you know, just talking to people, you know, parties and things like that. And I thought, I'm a UCLA grad. I've worked on Wall Street. I've done a startup. I am not knocking on doors. Well, 3 months later, I was out of people to talk to. I think I better try this knocking on doors thing. And so here I am. It's in my 17th year as a real estate agent, and I've knocked on over 125,000 doors.
Oh, wow. Did you count each door?
I just, by default, the first time, I just started keeping track on an Excel spreadsheet. And I had no idea where, you know, when you start there, you have no idea where you're going to end up, right? It was just starting. And the book I wrote, Doors Open When You Knock, is sort of like my journey in real estate, but it's not about knocking on doors. It's really not even about real estate. It's just, what does it take to persevere over time? And what Naomi was talking about, giving, right? There is no, you know, she has an abundant mindset. There's not a scarcity in her world. You know, everything is, there's an abundance. And what I learned in real estate, and I learned on knocking on all those doors, right? Think about how many thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people I've spoken to on their front porch about their life, which is really what I'm there to talk about, in the place that they go wake up every morning and go to bed every night. And you'd be amazed, right, at people I've met, relationships I've created, and the stories I've heard. But what I learned was, is that it was about giving, because the odds of someone moving the day I knock on their door are like almost zero, almost zero. And so really it's about just giving myself. It's being of service. Sometimes it's just providing an ear. And when I look back on all the thousands of hours I spent, you know, one could say that was a waste of time. And in another sense, going back to the giving analogy, right? I was giving myself, right? There's nothing else for me to give other than myself. And it's turned into this, not only the relationships in my business, I would never have this book. I would never be able to do the training and speaking I've been able to do, right? Without this seemingly mindless, horrible, scary task of knocking on doors.
So Stephen, let me ask you this, because I love it. It just, everybody seems to have a common theme of people who said, no matter what, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to go after, and to a certain extent, going out of their element. Now, you mentioned being antisocial, and people who know me know I'm not necessarily a people person, which is why I talk to 5 people a day. That's it. I've reached my maximum, right? But for an antisocial introvert, what kind of talk did you have with yourself to initially start knocking on the door?
I think almost everybody has already said, right, you've got to have something at stake. Mm-hmm. Nancy has 5 boys. I think Naomi has 4 kids. Christina had her health at stake, right? There's something at stake, right? I had 3 kids to feed. I didn't want to go back to consulting. I didn't want to go back to any of the other stuff I did before. I had to find a way to make this work. And so I had to make myself do something I did not want to do.
Okay, makes sense. Now, let me ask you, Nancy, when Naomi talked about her journey and how people said, no, you can't do it, you're crazy, yada, yada. When you decided to give the world light, the poorest of the poor, what did the people around you say? Did they think you were doing something that, you know, maybe couldn't be done?
Well, considering I had no background in non-for-profit work, I didn't know anything about solar. Like, it was just, you know, just this bizarre desire that I had, that people were like, you're what? How are you going to find poor people? How are you going to find, you know, raise money? And I didn't have any of the right answers, besides I knew I had, you know, this passion inside of me. And, you know, just like everyone here today, it's, you have to believe in the big dream that's been placed inside of you. It may not make sense, but it's just taking all of the next steps and really not relying on those relationships to fuel you. You have to be able to fuel yourself and take those steps. But yes, absolutely. People thought I was crazy. And also it made them uncomfortable. Like, oh, you're out saving the world. And I was planning on learning euchre this year. So, you know, people, it didn't make them feel good about themselves. And, you know, quite honestly, I lost some friends at the very beginning, because it just made them uncomfortable. Like, they didn't want to hear about the poverty that I was going into. But, you know, just trusting yourself, trusting your instincts, and continuing pushing yourself forward.
Yes. Christina, did you lose friends along your journey?
Yeah, I've had some significant loss. Actually, I've lost 2 husbands. I kind of joke I had a Netflix kind of life. The story still continues, but I lost my first husband, John. I was my high school sweetheart since I was 15, and I lost him when I was 24 years old, and I lost my house. I lost everything because we didn't have insurance. We didn't have any of that. So I had to start from bottom up. And at that point, actually, I started my own consulting firm and design and so on. And then I got married again to my daughter's father. I won't say too much in case she watches this, but it was a challenging relationship, and he had his own demons, let's just say. So, and then unfortunately we did separate, but he eventually sort of came around and he was a very good father to the best of his ability. However, I was the sole supporter. I was always doing everything. And again, I was a single mom, and that's why I was so corporately driven. I was like just trying to make ends meet. And then I was so unhappy and I wasn't really there enough for my daughter. I mean, she's really turned and blossomed into a beautiful young lady. You know, she's had me as a role model, but sometimes I look back and I think I really wish I'd have been able to be there more like the typical mom, but I was never the status quo. And when I had my health at stake, the first thing I thought, who is going to look after Chloe? So that was paramount to me, and really making change in my life to make sure that I would be here. I still think about that every day when I wake up because I still have continual issues. However, I also want her to know that never give up on your dreams. Have ambition. You can change the world, even if it's small steps and small changes make transformation. And if you don't follow your dreams right now and you live in fear, which I did for a while because I was afraid of losing my house again. I had to go through a lot of problems with my ex. As I said, he had some issues, financial ones as well, and which I inherited. But I think you can dig yourself up. And if you don't give up, and people say, how do you do it? I'm like, how do you not do it? Right.
Right. So,
and you have one life. You have one life to live and make it count and spread joy and spread love and abundance. Stephen was talking about that, the scarcity complex. I mean, a lot of people think like that. And when you make them feel uncomfortable, Nancy, like you were saying, people get, they're afraid. They're afraid of what you're doing. Like, they're like, wow, look at what she's doing. They get, I don't know if it's envy or jealous, or they're just uncomfortable because they're uncomfortable with themselves and their own lives. And they don't like to see other people stepping out of the box. But instead of that, they should really embrace it and say, I try to surround myself with people that inspire and I aspire to be like, or have conversations or read books or things like that. Because, I mean, the majority of people do that 9 to 5 and they come home. But what kind of life if you're not living a passion? It could be something after work. It could be your work. It could be whatever it is. I think giving back is essential, or it feeds your soul. And it makes the world a better place.
I definitely agree. Now, Alexander, we spoke with Stephen, we spoke with Nancy, Christina, Naomi, and we really hear what's driving them, their passion. What drives you?
Well, it's mostly the arts and culture passion for me. That's what drives me. That's what has driven me since I was a kid, reading books that were not even for my age, just reading novels. And that's where the passion comes from. And that's what I want to use marketing for. But it's also now that I've educated myself about privacy, that is also a big reason why I do what I do the way that I do, just trying to give back in that way. Providing services that are privacy focused.
It seems like you have a couple of different areas which you focus on. Like privacy seems to be something you're very passionate about. So maybe there's a different way that you can be, have more voice in the world. And you speak about marketing, but then you also talk about film and television and arts and culture. Do you see yourself going down that path, creating a movie, creating a feature film?
No, I've written a couple books, but I've never published any fiction books. But what I really want to do is just grow my business, where my business, Alexander Page Marketing, is about providing marketing services to arts and culture businesses. So helping other films, film festivals, novelists, publishers reach their audience. That's what I'm most passionate about at the moment, rather than putting myself out there as an artist, helping others put themselves out there.
That is noble. I love it. I think that's wonderful. Naomi, I want to go back to something that you said when you started. I know when I first started, when I built my first website in 1994, there were people who said that I was lazy, that I didn't want to get a job because I just wanted to stay at home. And being that it was 1994, so many people didn't have computers in their home and they definitely didn't have websites. The mindset at that time was, if you don't physically go into the office, if you don't physically go to work, then obviously you don't want to work. When you started this journey and people said, okay, why are you doing this? Do you feel that there was a specific reason why they felt you shouldn't take this journey?
Well, why I shouldn't have taken this journey. We're talking 16 years ago. Considering that I did not have formal schooling in this field, okay, and I explain to people nowadays that I see young women that have gone through the actual schooling, and still, you know, they're missing something. They're missing that flair. Now, it's something that's inborn in you. It's something that can't be taught. So you could sit through all those classes and go through the 4 years of design school. And if it's not in you, you know, some people, you walk down the street, you see they've got style, the way they're dressed, the way they're put together. You know, nobody taught them this. This is coming from their inside. So I guess back then, having no official formal schooling in this area, people thought, you know, I was being ridiculous, but it's not a field that really to succeed, you know, either you have it or you don't. But my field in particular, the field that became my expertise, for some reason, I gravitated towards healthcare design. I see a lot of old people that are sick and miserable and designing hospices at the end of their lives. And I see that they're really miserable. They're unhappy and unfulfilled. They never follow through what everybody's saying over here. You know, for your inner happiness, you have to follow your gut and you have to be brave and follow your dreams. Because otherwise you'll end up like all these people I'm seeing. They're so unhappy. They're at the end of their lives. And instead of feeling, you know, serene and calm, and I accomplished everything I wanted to in this life, you know, I'm seeing exactly the opposite. You know, I see if people stop me like, oh, you're with the construction crew over here. I always wanted to be a contractor, you know, like, so why didn't you, you know? So, and it's unfortunate that I find that a lot of people they're miserable going to work every single day. And the reason why they're miserable going to work every single day is because either, let's say, their parents push them into a field that really isn't their calling. Like, their parents are lawyers, so they push their kids also to go to law school. When the kid wanted to really be something else, you know, so they're miserable. I see spouses, you know, then they're when they hear that their other part. Their partner is saying that, oh, they want to open this kind of business, that kind of business, and they get scared, you know, starting something from scratch. So they're like, discourage it. They'll tell you, yes. No. Stay in the job where you have a safe, stable paycheck every single week, you know, instead of following that inner calling. They'll dampen their dreams, you know, they'll put a damper on it, and they end up like stuck in that, like, that gerbil wheel, going to work every single day unhappy, just routine. And just because that spouse is suppressing, you know, them and wants the stability and wants that safe life, it's so important just to take that leap of faith and take that risk and follow what your gut is telling you, where you should be, what you want to be doing. You know, it's a terrible life, waking up every morning and you know, cringing every time you have to go to work.
Right. I've been there. I've definitely been there a time or two. Stephen, have you been there? I mean, you had to cringe?
Yes, I have. And, you know, I'm going to touch on what everyone just said. I'll get there in a second. And I learned when I was in the consulting business, we had this one client, actually one of the partners for the firm I worked for. He was such a jerk is the polite term.
I heard the word you were thinking. I heard it.
And I thought, I don't ever want to work with people like that ever again. And when I got into real estate, I knew pretty early on, I don't want to work with those people. I don't care how much money you have. I don't want to work with you. And, you know, that is the beauty of when you're your own business. You can pick and choose your clients. of course, if you have an abundance mentality, if you have a scarcity mentality, then you're clinging on to every piece of business you can get. And, you know, that takes courage to have that leap of faith, right? You got to have faith, you got to have belief. And I wanted to tie that back into something that Christina was sharing, and again, something that Naomi was sharing, something Nancy was sharing, and something that Alexandra was sharing. And that is, when we take on something that doesn't look safe or normal, or that's going to take courage or might not turn out, the other people around us, right, who want to, I think Naomi's word was damper us down. It's because, right, they're not willing to take that same leap of faith. And often whatever we find difficult in others is something that we won't deal with for ourselves. And in order to succeed at anything that we're up to, right, Alexandra with publishing a novel, right, if she wants to, and I'm sure her writing is amazing, right, but for her, and I'm not speaking for you, Alexandra, I'm just using you as an example, but right, for her to actually publish the novel, right, it takes something. It puts her at risk. You know, she has to be vulnerable, because right now it's safer to keep it where it is. And I'm not saying that she's doing that. I'm just using that. That could be for many people. They actually do write the novel and they are terrified to put it out there. And I am not saying I have this handled by any stretch, right? The moment I went to publish my book, I was terrified. By my nature, I'm a scaredy cat. I don't take lots of risks.
At least you're honest. And my dad always says, know thyself. That's his favorite phrase. So at least you know yourself. But one of the things that I like about you, Stephen, and I'm just listening to you, but I'm staring, obviously, because you created that way, at your book. And I love the simplicity of the cover. I love the simplicity of the message. And it's so simple. It's so obvious. But when you put it that way, it doors open when you knock. And so often people forget to knock and they're like, nothing's happening. No opportunities are coming to my way. My life has not changed. And you're like, okay, but have you knocked? So how did you come up with that specific title?
Wow. So here's the other thing, right? I wrote a version of this book like 5 years ago. It was terrible. I wasn't ready. I was about to get divorced. It was just a whole bunch of other stuff going on. And I had played with a bunch of titles and had done some kind of testing of, you know, I paid someone like $100 to do some A/B testing. So I've had this title for a long time and then no book. Right. So I had a title, no book. And then finally listened to the coaching of my coach about a year and a half ago. And he's like, man, you got to write a book. If you've got something to say, you got to stop hiding. And get your butt out there. It wasn't the word he used. Get your butt out there and really go for it. He's like, and it's no different than knocking on doors. You know, you got to do it, you know, in a different way. So it was kind of a long way around, but, you know, it goes back to, you know, I had the title actually before I had the book.
Yes, I like it. I like it. Now, Nancy, I want to ask you, you mentioned having a patent, right? So how does someone who, like Naomi says, doesn't have the education, doesn't have the background, you don't have degrees in solar lighting. How do you take that step to say, I'm going to make this happen?
So for me, the process was when I was in the field, whether it was the Philippines or Africa, and really seeing the problems of the people that I was serving. So looking at, I was in a leper colony in Kathmandu, Nepal, and we were bringing lights to them and they didn't have digits. So they couldn't turn on the lights. So when I designed the next light, I made sure it had a large surface. So if the people that I was serving didn't have fingers or some type of disability, that they would be able to turn on the light. So everything, every idea that I had was from the end user. So coming back with that information, I started designing and just creating. I have no background in any electronics, but again, it was through a relationship with a large corporation here. I went to them and I said, listen, I knocked on a door. This is my vision. This is my dream. And, you know, dreams just remain dreams inside of your head unless you ask somebody to help you. And so we were able to design, patent, and start manufacturing the lights for zero money. It was all for free. So
that's amazing. That's a blessing. That's unheard of. Now, when you were going through this process and all this happened for free, were you afraid?
No, I have more designs in my head. So I was not, I was grateful that somebody believed in my dream and said, we're going to help make this happen. So once the patent happened, then I had UL come alongside of us and said, we're going to certify it. And that certification process took 2.5 years. And people were not supportive of that. They're like, what are you doing? Why are you even bothering doing this? But I knew, not that it matters to the end user, but it matters to the relationships that I have here in America, knowing that we're the Cartier of free lighting.
Wow, I love it. Now, do you offer the free lighting to people within the United States?
So I have in after disasters. And again, the other thing is trying to find the hidden poor. And the hidden poor in America is quite different. But after in Puerto Rico, and the whole island was out of electricity, probably 5,000 lights in Puerto Rico, Texas. I was just in Louisiana in Lake Charles. So when we go in after a disaster, we'll go to different areas that might be the less served.
Yes, absolutely. Christina, what do you think of the conversation so far?
I'm just finding it fascinating that everybody has a mindset of really, I think, no fear. Because I mean, I think that's just I mentioned it before, but giving back, but no fear and just moving forward with your passion and your belief system, whether it's, you know, your business or a mindset, or you want to actually go to the Philippines or open a design firm where you have no experience. Although if you know in your heart that you can do something, I just always try to say, tune out the noise and just follow your heart and surround yourself with like-minded people who have similar philosophies. They don't have to be in your same sphere of, you know, industry or sectors. I think that's so key, because it can be very, very hard when everybody's telling you, no, you can't do it. I mean, I've been married to, you know, it's kind of like being in an abusive relationship, which I was in. When someone keeps telling you that you can't do something or you're never going to do it. But, you know, for me, it was always this inner spark, well, yes, I can. And I'd always fight for that belief in me that I know I can do it. And I just think kudos to Nancy, like, for doing what she's done. I think that's amazing. I didn't even know about the care. When I looked on your website just before this, I was blown away. And I want to share other people's stories, and I'm going to be starting a podcast in about a month and a half. About, you know, telling people stories, and in particular women, but not just women. It's called Making Her Story. And I think, you know, and people like Naomi and Alexandra, like you and Stephen, like, you have such amazing stories to share. And I feel that's what's so common thread here, is that we can help inspire, and we can inspire each other. And it's a domino effect, right? And I think that's what fuels the world, when you see other people doing amazing things. And I hope that we can aspire and inspire others to make small changes. And I think that's really what it is no fear. And since the pandemic, a lot of people have, I said, you know, wanted to reset and started to reevaluate their life. You know, the big fancy car and the big house and all those material things, they don't mean nothing if you don't have your health or a fulfillment in your heart or your family or your loved ones. And if you don't have a family, create your own family. So I think just spreading kindness and giving back. And that's what really makes people tick. Like, they don't realize it at first, when you give back and you make someone feel amazing. Like, I used to do these fundraisers, all sorts, but one in particular, because I was from a dance background, and I would have women from all shapes and sizes, like, especially, you know, ages, anything. And, you know, I'd have professionals, but then I'd mix them with the other ladies. And I had the feedback at the end from a couple of very, you know, I guess what society would not deem as beautiful. And they came to me and they said, I feel beautiful tonight, and thank you. And that just stirred my heart. That's where it really started me. I wanted to help women in particular because of what, I'm not going to say this is like, I know we have a man in the audience, but it's been challenging for women, I think, throughout the generations to really step forward in business, to feel good about their bodies. But also to inspire others. A lot of women are quiet about their challenges. And that's why I decided to kind of the last year to tell my story. And I think telling everybody else's story, like Stephen's, is quite inspirational, especially when you're not comfortable. It's getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. and yes. putting yourself out there. And it's not being a narcissist, it's just telling your story and helping others, especially what Naomi was mentioning and Alexandra, and really putting forth the issues that and all the, you know, just being a light in the world. And that's what I really do feel, Nancy in particular, because that's very literal, but love and light, that's what I always sign my letters. And I really believe in that, giving back. And
it's, we like that.
Like the pandemic, it's, I want to change this whole COVID. I want to make kindness the new contagion. And yes. that is really the key for humanity to succeed.
I love it. And congratulations on your new podcast. That's a major step that you're taking. You. Yeah, so I heard your story and your explanation for the podcast. I kind of heard an invitation, so I just wanted to see if that was a clear invitation for Nancy.
Yeah, I would love to have everyone on this. I mean, it probably will take about 6 weeks till it's getting ready, like, because we're getting it all built out, but I might have people record before, obviously, the launch. So I will reach out to one and everyone here, and I would love to share everybody's story. It is called Making Her Story, Stephen, but I am welcoming men, especially ones that, you know, maybe touch women's lives or so on, but it's also for everyone. It's inclusive. As I said, I have, I just want to share people's stories and inspire others to make mm-hmm. change. And I think sometimes people think they're so just one small person and they can't make change. But when they listen to people's stories, they realize, you know what, I even just volunteering or, you know, doing something or telling their story, it helps other people.
Everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's what we do here each morning, weekdays at 8 a.m. on the Roundtable Talk Show. We share stories so other people can't come back and say, oh, I can't do it. I can show you five people just today who had their own struggles, their own journeys, and they can do it. So real quick, Stephen, are you willing to share your story on a new podcast?
I'm in. And I have to add 30 more seconds. So my partner, she's a physician, and her specialty that she's around mostly males. And so obviously I've been very fortunate. I have nothing to complain about, but I've heard firsthand, you know, I still watch her deal with the, you know, even today, right? As accomplished and as smart as she is, just the nonsense that she's got to put up with. So yeah. I wasn't offended. I would love to be a part of it.
Okay. Maybe even bring your wife and, or do a duo, or maybe she's separate, but I love that. And I'm looking for people that have stories that they were willing to share and that have an interesting angle. So whatever it is, it's like every walk of life, really.
Yeah, so we have a lot of interesting angles for you today. We met some great people. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Alexandra.
Just taking away that marketing doesn't have to be we say in Portuguese, a seven-head monster. It can be something straightforward if you start from the start with the strategy and build your brand and then start building your online presence and all that. And taking away that arts and culture and other industries can be furthered by marketing. Apart from that, from my business, Alexandra Pires Marketing, I also want to talk about what Naomi was talking about, parents and people around you not supporting you and you having to take that plunge. That I really resonated with that, and I'm really glad that people got to hear that. So if you don't take anything specific about marketing, then take that, take your plunge and do what you love.
Take your plunge and do what you love. Thank you, Alexandra. Words to live by. Stephen, what do you have for us?
I'm sticking with the doors open when you knock, right? If you don't take action, right? If you don't knock on the door, it will not open. And by actually everyone's story today, right? It takes time. So developing the patience, right? To stick with what you believe. And if, of course, if you want to check out the book, you can just go to doorsopenwhenyouknock.com.
I love it. Doorsopenwhenyouknock.com. Thank you. Christina, what do you have for us?
I was making sure I wasn't on mute. I have so much to say, but I'm going to try to condense it, obviously, and be concise. So Blue Skies Life, blueskieslife.com is all about natural, organic, and sustainable products to live your life well. But it's not just about that. It's also about the sky is not the limit. And Blue Skies Life, Blue Skies is spelled with a Y. So remember that it's all about your why, and your purpose and your passion, and really find that within you, especially now. I think you have more than ever, health and wellness is essential, but also your own finding your own passion, whether it's art, writing, creating a new business, a design firm, helping others in a, you know, a third world country, or, you know, opening up a real estate firm and, you know, helping people find the home of their dreams. I think, you know, find your why, and that's where I leave it.
Well, thank you for that, Christina. Naomi, what do you have for us?
Okay. So I want to go to Stephen's knocking on doors. Many people get discouraged when they knock on the door and it gets slammed in their face. So I think it's very important to understand that, let's say you go for a job interview and you don't get the job and the door gets, you know, slammed, to not get discouraged, to understand that it wasn't meant for you, to understand that that job was meant for somebody else, and not to get upset about it. You know, so many times in the beginning, when I first started out, when I didn't get a project, I would cry, I would get, and then afterwards I would find out like I was saved from a like monster contractor and an abusive, mean guy, difficult to work with. And it's, I didn't realize that I was just saved, and I was crying over it. So you don't realize that things get closed, doors don't open for you that are not meant for you. So don't get upset about it and keep on going. Don't let it knock you down. Keep moving forward and try again and try something else and again and again and again till the right door for you does open. That's where you're meant to be. So it's very important not to give up.
I love that. I love that. I always say, watch the doors that open and watch the doors that close. The doors that open are the doors you're supposed to walk through, and the doors that close are the doors you're supposed to leave alone. So you got to have to figure it out. But I love your passion. So where are we going to see you next, Naomi? Because I feel like there's something more. Like
there is more. Teacher,
trainer, mentor, like just listening to your passion. It's like, I want to hear more.
There is more. There's always this extra energy. What can I do next? What can I conquer?
Oh. Yeah. Well, let us know. Let us know, because yes. I definitely want to tune in.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Miss Nancy, Miss Watts of Love, what do you have for us?
Yeah. So I just want to give a personal invitation to every listener and every participant today to join me in the field. I take global travel teams. I'm leaving next Friday for Malawi, Africa. And I just think that giving people the opportunity to come alongside of the dream and the purpose and passion of Watts of Love really opens and expands people's thinking. So I just want to invite everyone to join us in the field. We'll be in Guatemala in March. We'll be in Malawi again in July and September. So join a Watts of Love. It's W-A-T-T-S, wattsoflove.org. So yeah, I'd love to have everybody join me.
So what does that look like? If they want to join and they go to wattsoflove.org, is there a package? Do they become a volunteer? What does it look like?
Yeah. So it's a volunteer. And really one of the main things that we do is we don't want people to come and be an observer. What I want you to do is be an active participant, be a voice for the voiceless people, and realize that we're creating sustainable communities, and we're leaving a greener, cleaner, better community behind us. So I ask for every volunteer to fundraise for 60 families, right? Because if it was just up for me, you know, fundraising, that's great, but I want to be able to spread the message. So we ask our volunteers. And I also think it's a privilege and an honor to go into these communities that may be closed off to most people. So I asked my donors to fundraise that for 60 families, which is $3,000. Then our travelers purchase their own ticket, however, you know, they want to do that with miles or pay for it upright. And then also they cover the cost of the trip. So it's anywhere from, it's about a 8 to 10 day trip, and it's from $900 to $1,200, depending upon where we are. Two things. Number one, I want people to come into a community and fall in love with the people and understand what makes Malawi fabulous. But then also at the end of the trip, I want them to fall in love with the nation. So usually we have like maybe a safari, like a 2-day safari, so that they can see both aspects of the country that we're serving.
I love it. I love it. I may have to go to wattsoflove.org and go ahead and sign up. I just love it.
All right, what are you doing next Friday? We can go.
Hey, we'll do that. I'll come and join you, and I'll come and help and support and fundraise. That's what I love.
All right, let's do it.
We're going to make it happen. Now, this show has been incredible. I love certain shows when it's just a certain vibe and we all share information, we share our stories, we share our journeys, and that's what we've done today. So I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Like I always say, just because you didn't catch the show live does not mean you're not important. And it doesn't mean we still do not need your support. Because we do. Please go ahead and share the show with your network. But like I like to say, just because you watch the show and just because you share the show, we still ask for more. Yes, there's more. Please support our guests. Visit their websites. Pick up a copy of their book. Go on a safari. I don't know. Whatever you have to do, but support our guests. Their website link is in the Facebook post. But please don't just visit their website. Support them. Follow them on social media, reach out to them, send them that message, send them that text. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.